everyone. Finally, welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast. Today, we got a lot of stuff in store. For one, we are joined by a new co-host, Randy. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
We're doing good. On our end, we also have Xander.
Hello.
Back at the Talos of office, so we're trying something different. Lots of different things for this week's episode.
Yeah. Different's good.
Yeah. And I want to apologize for people who've been wanting more of these. You know, it's been tricky staying on top of them, and just keep in mind that Randy, with all the hard work he's putting into it, as well as Nick Ann Sweeney, who's not with us this week, we're doing all this just out of the goodness of our hearts. You know, there's no reimbursement for this. We don't get paid for this. We just want you guys to have enjoyable stuff. So, yeah, right. We're hoping to answer some cool questions and then later on get into some voicemails. But, yeah, I'd be curious more to hear what Randy has to say this week.
Yeah, so I went ahead and kind of did my homework a little bit for this week, seeing good. How we had a bit of a slow overall news week in tech. Nothing more exciting than people talking about their opinions about the HomePod, and to which I know you are the homekeeper of three of them. And more just to kind of summarize for maybe our podcast exclusives that maybe they don't catch the videos on the end. If you wanted to give us a quick overall impressions of how you feel with the HomePod, I know you've had it now for a little bit longer than to just have initial impressions, but not enough to go into a full review of it.
Sure.
Just curious
sure.
about what you feel about that.
So yeah, kind of like our almost 1 week review, I think, is that I just like every other Apple product, I've been enjoying it very, very much. And Xander has too, because he's been at the office quite a bit, and we've had we recently started going through Lost, which has been exclusively on the HomePod.
It's nice because if you turn the volume all the way up, which is kind of the way you have to watch Lost, because Lost is a very quiet show.
There's a lot of quiet parts. Yeah.
It doesn't sound too loud. It's not like some shows where you're like, oh man, this, you know, this part's too loud, this part's too quiet. It balances itself out really well, actually.
Yeah, and I'm not an audiophile, but the way the HomePod like equalizes stuff and like balances everything out. And one thing we always comment on, though, when there's something intense going on in the show, is that when that bass comes in, you feel it.
And it's great.
Good. Yes.
It's always really good to feel the intense moments of a show.
Yeah. And that was replacing wasn't a very good one, but it was a 6-speaker setup beforehand.
Oh, wow.
Full of 2 subwoofers and 4 trebles. Now, they weren't super fancy, but we got rid of all of those desktop speakers we plugged into the TV. Replaced with just that one HomePod.
Yeah.
And it's
less is more. Less is more. That's really good that you're able to take away 6 and substitute for... You're just using the one right now, right?
Yeah, just one is paired to the TV. We have one on my desk and then one in the gaming room.
I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are once we can actually have all those synced up together. That's going to be
fun. Oh, man. I can't imagine what that's so would like you, to would have you, all those paired.
Right. Would you say that... Now, since you're kind of playing with them individually, would you say that it was still possibly too early for them to release it until they had the software ready to go for that? Or would you say now is still a good time, even as individual speakers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been constantly asking myself that because, of course, if they can release something and it's ready, I'm up for it. But I haven't decided yet if stereo mode is something that I would have preferred not having a HomePod yet for.
Okay.
Would you have preferred if they waited?
I don't think I would have waited for it. It sounds fine by itself. Stereo mode will make it sound better.
I think
better,
that's part of it.
But it sounds so good by itself.
I think they decided that since it's so like loud and consistent.
Omnidirectional, too.
Right, it can go every direction. Maybe that's...
The Google Max, I can understand you wanting a stereo mode for, because it's only one way, you know? It only has that, like, 180-degree triangle of audio, whereas this goes everywhere. This bounces off everything, so...
Some people didn't know that. We did the Home Max versus HomePod test. Xander was the one helping me out with that, showing me how to... he was like, well, if we... listen to the Max pointed away from us versus HomePod. Some people commented that, you know, who would listen to the Max from behind. But I think the difference was
That was the point.
Yeah, like
exactly.
You can't listen to the Max from behind.
Right.
Yeah. So Xander was the extra hands I saw in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think people missed the point in regards to having, you know, who's going to listen to behind it. You'd be surprised just what you don't realize in a situation where sometimes your speakers aren't facing you, but they're still playing. And the prime example is mm-hmm. in my office. I have these two M-Audio speakers that are connected with my iMac. And sure. and half my office is dedicated to the audio side and the other is for everything else. And mm-hmm. I'm on the everything else side all the time. And when I have things playing, it is night and day difference. And mm-hmm. for me, I can't wait to get my hands on the HomePod just so I can see what that actually feels like as a surround sound going across the room and just hearing it. Because I am an audiophile and right. I'm everything about audio. And when you're talking about how you felt the bass – watching mm-hmm. it and like, oh, you can feel that. That's what I live for. When you feel that yes. kick and that drop, that's what it is. And I will also kind of echo agreeing that I think this was a good time to release it, only because of the fact that when you have the HomePod synced up and it's in its stereo mode, then mm-hmm. it's going to be the only one that's doing that, as opposed to the Google or Alexa. You have Amazon and Google doing theirs, and they're just individual speakers as well, and they're working just fine. So we have mm-hmm. a good baseline to compare the three as of right now, and it's right. only going to get That's better true. Once we get them synced together. And then mm-hmm. with software down the road, it's only going to make everything better. Because I know people are saying, oh, but Siri is the weak one. Software, you can always improve software, but hardware, once it's out, it's out.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And
we haven't had any problems with Siri. Siri works fine.
Great. Yeah, that's the issue. I we get a lot of Siri criticisms, both on Twitter and in the comments. People always saying that Siri's the weak one. I can't find what
I think it
the Google
on...
Assistant does that Siri. And well, if, you know, I'm sure there's stuff it can do, but the things that the Google Assistant beats out Siri with are things I just don't use speakers for. I don't
Agreed.
Talk to it randomly.
The only thing I could think that would make my life better is to have my HomePod telling me random facts just because I want to prove a point for a good party trick. Hey, guys, well, watch this. Hey, Siri, who was yeah. the 37th president? How tall was he? I mean, that's exactly what I need the HomePod for. Otherwise, why am I buying it?
No, exactly. Right. That's just a waste of money now.
Well, I was curious of asking exactly. you because of – I was curious of asking you, being an audiophile, how you feel about the – connectivity of the HomePod not having a headphone jack or Bluetooth pairing support. Because the headphone jack thing I could care less about, but the Bluetooth side of it I'm kind of iffy on. I see why they didn't go with Bluetooth, because they right. want it to be just Apple Music. But at right. the same time, being able to pair that like effectively with the iMac, I kind of would have liked.
So being an audiophile, and specifically with my background with audio and music engineering specifically, mm-hmm. I don't see the issue with the exact construction of what we have right now, especially for a first-gen product, only because of the fact that no audiophile in the process of recording or needing it, like, well, I need it when I'm editing video or audio.
Mm.
You don't want to have something that's bass-heavy or has any type of flexibility. What audiophiles are specifically mm-hmm. looking for, and I challenge anybody to say otherwise, is you actually want an extremely flat sound. And I have specific monitors that are attached to my iMac that mm-hmm. give me the flattest sound possible when I'm mixing any type of audio or music, whether it's with film or podcasts or anything like that.
Right, right.
What the HomePod does, what it serves its purpose for, and what I will enjoy knowing when I do get it, is the HomePod is not meant to be your speaker for editing. It is not meant to be okay. your speaker for, well, am I able to then increase bass, drop bass, when you know that it's maybe more bass driven than say Alexa. That sure. speaker is meant specifically for the final product. It's the end result. It's what you're supposed to not be thinking about when you have it playing. Audiophiles right, right. that are involved in the construction of making anything audio related, you don't want to use that as your baseline. You use that as the end result. Okay, I'm going to play it on this. Does it sound good? Okay, it does. I'm going to play it on my iPhone 10. Does it sound good there? Great. And then mm-hmm. you find the balance in between, and it's ready to go. Now, people who are audiophiles and are just consumers for it, mm-hmm. the Bluetooth connectivity for it, I do not see it as an issue, because as you have mentioned in your videos, and I think everybody will find a fake argument in this otherwise, is if you are getting the HomePod, it is because you are in the ecosystem. If you're not a tech reviewer who's going to break it down because it doesn't compare to Android, the other tech reviewers, that's their job. I understand that. But for a true consumer who's not reviewing tech as their full-time job, you're buying you're buying this speaker and you're paying the Apple price for it because you're in the ecosystem. It's because you need that seamless transition. You need that that ecosystem's support, which we are ultimately going towards a wireless future.
Right. And everybody who's in that understands. Yeah.
Exactly. So I could tell you from personal experience, I don't see an issue with this down the road, and I only see it getting better as everything else. People are finding the flaws in it now, whether the physical, there's a white ring, or whether, it's not as good, which we'll talk about the ring in a second.
Okay, those are it's all
Gen 1 stuff, and it's just people are going to complain just to complain, but I guarantee, just like how people are complaining about the AirPods, we're going to see a mass switch once it's out to the masses. That's my projection.
Sure, sure. I'm glad we have an audiophile now on the Talosive team.
That's good.
Yeah, because now anytime someone says, I'm an audio engineer, I need the hit, we can just resort back to you.
I'm always in the comments fighting it.
Right. Great. Yeah, so I'm glad you're on that side of it. I use my AirPods when I'm editing quite often just because those are my favorite pair. And the fact that they Bluetooth means that the latency is barely noticeable. So I can edit things pretty okay. But we figured out how to AirPlay audio from an iMac to a HomePod. And it's pretty behind, I think, because it's over Wi-Fi. But yeah, like you said, that shouldn't be edited on there to begin with. That's something I didn't even think about.
That's just somebody who's – if you want to find a flaw in something, you're going to find a flaw in everything. And those are just people who are going to nitpick. And I get that. Hey, point out what you want or what you can.
Yeah, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, nothing's perfect. And we accept that. But to say that the speaker is the weakest out of the three, because I saw some reviews on that with other tech channels, I find to disagree as an audiophile just for the fact that it doesn't clip. It doesn't distort when you have it at 100% from what I'm gathering with you reviewing them.
Right. That's something I didn't realize I would appreciate as much. Right. I didn't realize.
Oh, we love that.
Yeah, yeah.
We live for that.
The fact that it doesn't clip when it gets higher. I don't listen for that kind of thing. And when the Max plays at full volume, we just kind of figured, oh, that's just, you know, loud. That's what loud sounds like.
Right.
Then we get the HomePod.
I think we're two sides of the same coin, because you not being an audiophile and you can appreciate it. Audiophile here, I'm appreciating it. That means they're doing something right. And I know that from everybody knows back in the WWDC last year, it was a speaker first. And so
right.
Taking your time, take all the time you need. But the fact that they released it now without having the syncing compatibility on just yet, I don't see it as a deal breaker, personally, only for the fact it still holds its own for everything else, and it lives within the Apple ecosystem as it should. Mm-hmm. So I don't see people spending that type of money saying, well, it's not working with my Windows laptop. Well, sir or ma'am, I don't think you wanted to get that product from the beginning then.
Right.
It's almost like the Apple Watch of smart speakers. It's
exactly.
Like the Apple Watch is like everyone says, oh, I wish it would pair with Android. Well, why do you want it if you don't have an iPhone?
It's the just best like wearable. This. Yeah. And it's similarly. Like,
why would you want the smart speaker if you don't have an Apple ecosystem already?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that was another point I kept bringing up, was people love to bring up Spotify with the HomePod for some reason. And my argument was, if you're paying $350 for an Apple-designed speaker, you probably don't mind paying $10 a month for music, you know, at the most. You could be – student membership is cheaper. You can get annual membership, which is cheaper. So honestly, that never convinced me either, because I have YouTube Red, so we already had Google Play Music when we got our Google Assistants. We never changed the default music player in those. Now, while making my video about the HomePod, I wasn't really sure if you could set the Google speakers or the Amazon speakers to default to Apple Music. And I'm not sure if...
I've gone into the settings, and you can set it to...
Yep, here it is.
There we go.
You can set it to...
So smart.
It will do YouTube Music, Google Play Music, Pandora, and Spotify are the four. I guess.
That I'm not sure if that's Google refusing to optimize Apple or if it's Apple not letting them have Apple Music.
Probably it a little bit of both.
It could be either or. But despite that, it's still like I don't see anyone buying speakers and then hoping to pair the opposite company's music playing device. And similarly, if Apple has Apple Music and are trying to reorient themselves as a services company, of course they're not going to support the competition's music. That would defeat half the purpose of this product, which is to get people to move over to the services by convincing them via the best design speaker. That's what I think they did.
If you really want to, you can just play Spotify from your phone and AirPlay
it. Yeah, it's not like it can't.
It's just it can't stand alone.
Yeah, you can't tell Siri to do it on its own. Yeah.
If I may use one of the words that I love hearing you say in your videos all the time, exclusivity.
Yes.
That's the
primary reason Apple works.
Every time you say that, I use the drooling emoji to when Drew's using a 5-syllable word, I'm there. And, but to my point of where I'm getting at with that is when you are Apple Music exclusive. It's for a reason, because Apple is in the service side of the house now with their what they have to offer, and the prices there is no different. There's no difference. Maybe promos might be different, but you're either paying $10, $15, or was it $7.99 or $6 for the student discount. Those prices are locked in side by side. And personally, my bias is showing here. I've used both Spotify and Apple Music for when Spotify had their trial a few months back. I was curious. Right. They don't have a bigger library for anything. And that bugs me. And so they might have some of the locked in stuff, but I like to get into a lot of the independent music as well. And their catalog is not as extensive because they don't have all those years of the catalog like iTunes did. So when people – going back to exclusivity here – when you have an Apple ecosystem, the purpose of you spending $350 to be a support to the ecosystem is not so you can play the competitor's business. So, we want to play Spotify or Google. You don't – it blows my mind that people are like, why can't it be both? Because it doesn't need to. Because now that it's getting so saturated, now we have three players on the field. Why would you help the other two? I don't see it. Same way. Why don't we have Google Assistant as our primary an app on our phone? Why?
The same argument keeps coming up every time Apple releases something, and what's kind of frustrating for me is the hardcore sheep, and I think most people in the podcast are as well, is just that we feel like we keep having the same discussion every time, is that when are people going to understand that Apple thinks they know a better way and are going to try to convince you?
They make products for their products.
Right.
That's it.
They're not the Google company that tries to just... they'll sell it no matter at any cost, you know, like the Home Mini. We'll literally charge you $4 as long as we can get the Google Assistant in your home. Like, that's the goal. Whereas
shipping Apple literally costs more to send the Home Mini than the Mini itself.
Exactly. Yes. You buy a $30 product and get a $25 gift card. You know, they're losing money on each one. I heard actually that they were giving away the Echo Dots and the Home Minis for so cheap because they were trying to get all of the consumers to switch to their speakers before the HomePod came out.
That makes sense.
They were like, we'll take a hit in sales if it means that they won't buy a HomePod. But if you're part of that ecosystem, like you said, we don't feel closed off. That's the thing. When you're outside of the ecosystem and you're seeing Apple get the Apple Watch and you're seeing Apple make the HomePod and that exclusivity to the music subscription, you feel locked out of that. Because you're not a part of that ecosystem, and I think that's why people criticize it. They're like, well, the only way this HomePod can work is if I spend all this extra money. It's like, this may sound mean, and this may be wrong or unethical. You can argue that all you want, but
let's do it.
They're literally trying to make you jealous.
Right, and it's working.
Yeah, there's no law about that. They're literally saying, we made a speaker, we think it's the best one, and we think you're going to like it so much you'll consider switching. Or, of course, if you're like the three of us, you're already in that ecosystem, you just feel like you're getting blessed with gifts.
It's like business ecosystem. 101.
Yeah. That's so, the only reason I still have my Apple TV. I got an Xbox One S, and I was like, well, this can do everything, so I might as well. But the TV just, it just works, and mm-hmm. it can pair with Bluetooth speakers.
But that was does it AirPlay?
Yeah.
I mean,
it has that little Chromecast trick, doesn't it?
The new YouTube on the Apple TV does not work.
No.
At all.
It just got worse. Please follow me on Twitter if you haven't. Yeah.
It's so bad.
Hey, what's going on with that real quick?
I don't
We think it's literally like before they were like, we don't want to make an Apple TV app. We're just going to port over the Xbox YouTube app to the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Now they just forgot to load anything.
I guess.
And we opened YouTube and there's just text.
I know.
Code everywhere.
It was so weird.
And we were like,
I felt uncomfortable just watching it, and I just saw the screenshot of it.
We were like, oh, I guess they just gave up. That's new.
That type of user interface, while I don't really enjoy it on the Xbox, it works.
I think it works for joysticks.
It works well, but with the Apple TV, what they had worked very well. And I guess they're just trying to unify.
I had issues with it, but it was okay.
Because, I mean, Xbox, PlayStation, anything that's kind of like a TV set box.
Right.
Or even the smart TVs, that is the YouTube that they use. So the Apple TV was the odd one out. It was the only one that had this weird version. So I guess to us, this new weird version is actually the one that's been here for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
I don't know. It's not nice.
I'm sorry to everybody else that I had to deal with that then, because there was something clean about the one that we were using. Or maybe I'm just used to it, but seeing that just it gives you like my own anxiety. Just like, what's going on?
The Apple TV one was simple. It was just
it wasn't too complicated.
Here's trending. Here's your subscriptions. Here's a search bar.
We could have used that you needed to do.
Yeah, we could have used a little tweaks, like maybe while you're watching a video, you can swipe down and see the channel and maybe some related videos.
And like, I like that they have that now. It's too. It doesn't.
It takes up way too much space on the
screen. The Apple TV had a very things were like fluid animations and like things would flow well. Mm-hmm. And this new version is very clunky, like a joystick. Definitely. It's very down, down, left, right. You know, click. Mm-hmm. It's not this smooth flowing transition and fade and stuff.
You know, Xander, you bring up an interesting thought process for me that this is a prime example as to why we shouldn't marry the two of having a touch interface for Mac OS, because it's not built for that. And this is hearing you saying about that with the YouTube app is same, because it's not built for that, and you need it. It's built for a joystick, which you didn't need, and it's kind of like being forced on you. And I'm thinking right now, like, this is why sometimes having different UIs for it is not a bad thing.
No, it's not. You know, hey, we should pair the Apple TV controller and then use YouTube that way, right?
It'll once they work fix better. It and it's not a string of text.
That's true. Because
that wouldn't load anything. Once but before we move on from the HomePod topic, because we've been talking about the HomePod for like 3 months now, like we could wrap that up here with I thought the last thing a lot of people didn't realize was that I think – I could be wrong about this, but HomeKit requires a hub.
Yes.
Which is either a fourth generation Apple TV or higher, or now the HomePod itself.
Or an iPad running iOS 10 or later.
Oh, an iPad works?
Yes.
Not a phone.
If you leave an iPad at home connected to your Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay, it has to stay there.
It has to stay. But so if it's at home connected to your Wi-Fi, your iPad can also be your hub if you don't have a TV or a HomePod.
And I wanted to bring up that a lot of YouTubers reviewing the HomePod don't acknowledge that. Right. And as someone who's just now...
It's a small subtext thing. Like, they don't talk about it too much. They're like, hey, HomeKit, by the way, you need this.
Right. We have HomeKit accessories in the office now. We're slowly converting. I'm actually selling and giving a lot of my old Google Assistant smart bulbs and switches to Xander slowly.
Yes, because I have the mini in my room on my desk, and it serves a purpose of turn on the lamp, turn off the lamp.
It's a light switch.
That's it. And it's like, I could get up, but
that's what they're good for.
It's, you know, it's a cool thing. It's a little nifty, and it's like, why not?
It's probably cheaper than an actual light switch.
It saves energy by me having to get up and turn things on and off.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's
if
a smart
I ever
bulb.
Forget to turn my lights off and I'm like, oh man, I forgot to turn my lamp off. I just tap the button on my phone and it's off. You know,
but that HomeKit optimization with iOS,
Yeah.
It's nice. Really, really smooth. The pairing process is a lot easier than the Google to iOS one. So I just wanted to remind everyone.
We ran into an issue, though.
We did.
Did you talk about this weird issue?
Well, the people... I'll go off on a little side tangent here, okay. If you don't mind, Randy.
No, let's do it.
So I mentioned in my vlog that my new HomeKit bulbs weren't pairing correctly. And we found out for some bizarre reason, of course, this ended up being YouTube's fault somehow. While I was uploading a tech video, the HomeKit accessories wouldn't pair.
Huh.
The weirdest thing. We don't know why. It's just one of those technology moments.
Also, HomeKit accessories, and actually, I believe any smart home accessories, have to be on a 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi network.
Yeah,
they cannot join a 5 gigahertz network. It just doesn't allow it to
pair. I think 5Gs are too small, and they figure these are going outside and inside and stuff. But as soon as the video finished uploading that evening, then the HomeKit accessories paired right away. So
naturally.
Yeah. It's somehow YouTube's fault again. I don't know what they do, but... the uploading must slow it down or something. I don't know, but
they're keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, they're making sure it's not.
We don't want this guy to have too much fun with Apple. Come on,
can't work. As soon as the video is done uploading, I open the Home app and add accessory, and it pairs right away. So, as we're closing the HomePod topic, I just wanted to say that it serves a purpose also as a hub.
Yes.
Because $350, while that may be much for a speaker, it is a lot cheaper than most iPads. So if you're not an Apple TV person, or you are looking for the HomeKit stuff, a HomePod can serve that same purpose.
Now, what I think is dumb is that HomeKit accessories need a hub. Mm-hmm. A lot of smart accessories need a hub. And a lot of them, the Google ones, were using the Google speakers as their hub.
Mm-hmm.
What's dumb is that HomeKit accessories need an iPad, an Apple TV, or the Max, or not the Max, the HomePod for a hub.
These are all the same name. It's annoying.
But if you get a Philips bulb, they require their own separate hub, which requires you to not have any of these other things. It's a very proprietary, like, you need the Philips Hue hub in order to pair any Philips bulb, even if you have these other hub sources.
And they're much more expensive. The Philips
much
bulbs.
More expensive.
You need this hub that costs $60 in order for them to work. But I guess that may be cheaper than the Apple TV if you want to go that route.
I guess.
Guys,
and
just get
those
an
are
TV.
Those. I guess to be fair, those are universal. Those pair with everything, and you don't need a speaker for it. You can
at
just control
some point,
it from your phone.
I would have to say that there, if people are constantly looking for what's the cheapest, what's the
right,
what can I say the most? You have to. Well, one, I think you're. I think you're just trying to find a reason to fight with us, then, because I think it's safe to say that for this network that we're not looking at cheapest. But
no.
I challenge people to think about this for a moment. That what's the convenience worth for you to not have to go through all of that? And for me, convenience is everything. You live a busy life. I live a busy life. People who are listening to this, we all have busy lives. The reason why people are so just keen to iOS or macOS and just the whole Apple ecosystem is because there is a convenience factor involved when you're dealing with everything communicating with one another within its ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And so there is a cost to be for that. And even if there wasn't a cost, there are some things that I would just say I would pay this much for convenience alone, for the fact that I don't have to go get these third-party accessories. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Sure, it could be cheaper, but there's that balance. You got the most – what's the most valuable, mm-hmm. and what is the most convenient? And they sometimes they're the same, but a lot of times they're different when you're looking for cost. What's the most cost-effective? Doesn't always mean it's the premium. And when you're talking about the ecosystem. So people mm-hmm. who are saying, yeah, well, this is cheaper. Yeah, but then you got to also get these cables. You got to get that. And who wants that?
It's not as convenient.
That.
Yeah.
No,
I've had
I'm
that
all
discussion.
About convenience.
Yeah. We've had that discussion with a lot of people with, you know, I don't buy Apple products because I have more options.
Right.
And my argument's always, you have more bad options. You have more options that aren't going to result in a better experience. My argument with Apple is that I actually have more options, because if I buy into an Android ecosystem, or I buy into Samsung or Microsoft or something, all of the accessories, all of the products that partner with that core ecosystem are not going to be as intuitive or as easy as my Apple Watch, as my AirPods, as my iPad, as my iMac. there's nothing at this point that parallels that. That's why I don't, you know, I don't call the channel Apple Sheep. I call it Talos of Tech, because I still consider it a tech channel that is acknowledging who the best tech company is, which right. is Apple. If that were to change, I would admit it. And at this point, I don't know anyone who can do what Apple does.
It's no. very difficult with Android or Windows or whatever to build an ecosystem that has its own phone, its own watch, its own tablet, its own laptop, desktop, and its own speaker. And its own TV box.
And headphones. It just keeps growing. It's
very difficult to get that all in one company.
It's the age-old issue with fragmented versus closed off. And that's what good old Steve Jobs believed in. And he was right to say that. Having a fragmented platform, you have more, quote-unquote, options, maybe for hardware or for something tangible with cosmetics. But in actuality, you're compromising the either security. You're compromising either the fluidity of it. You are compromising so much more for the fact that when famously it just works. And when it comes to Android or Windows, you get a text of screen where YouTube used to be, and it doesn't just work. So, and you know, again, convenience. I want to turn it on. I want it to work. We have so much other things to focus about. We don't want to open a manual and like, okay, how do we? You don't want that. It just you want it to just work with it. And when you have a platform that is Android or Windows or anything else that's fragmented, at that point, you're compromising so much more that you're giving up so you can say, yeah, but look at my skin. It's different. And half these guys, they're not changing the skin anyway. They want some stock Android.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you want iOS, but you want the cheaper version, which is now technically kind of – it's getting up there in price where it's not going to be cheaper.
Saving $20. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at that point, it's like – but then you're still dealing with the fragmented platform as it is. The only thing that Google has going for it is its services. That it has more under its belt, but you know our ecosystem is you know tried and true. It's been tested and it succeeds every time. So right. I agree with you with the fact that for now, you know this is the best platform that you have until something better comes along. But until then, I mean, let's call it what it is, and people don't have to be you know jaded by the fact that well, I can't afford it. I'm sorry you can't, but that doesn't mean that it's still not the more valuable platform.
I can't afford a Tesla, but I still think that's the best car.
Thank you.
I don't think a Tesla is a crappy car that's stupid because I can't afford it. Like I definitely cannot afford even a Model 3. But I still admit that they're the best. I can't afford Apple products, and
there you go.
Since I can, and I think they're the best, that's why I get them. So that's my reasoning on the matter. Yeah.
So let's shift here for a moment. I want to talk about instead of what has been, let's talk about what will be.
Okay.
And specifically, now that we're seeing that the HomePod came out already now, and we're kind of like up in the air. In the next 4 weeks or so, do you see us having a keynote? Or do you think they're just going to do everything on the website, just under the table, and we'll just focus towards WWDC?
Me and Sander have talked about this so many times.
I don't know what they would do.
We want one, but I thought that the HomePod announcement that it's available was the last nail in the coffin that there wasn't going to be one. Because I figured if they were going to have a keynote, they would likely announce the HomePod at it. But now that HomePod's out, and that was just a website refresh, I think that... given what happened last year, I thought we had two really good keynotes.
Right.
And I think that was either cheaper or easier for them so that they this year have decided that I think it's easier if we just do two really big keynotes a year instead of four kind of minor ones.
Does that mean to fill in the hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe they don't have a musical guest performer instead they can cover everything else? Because here's my thought process. So what are we waiting for? Air power. Missed opportunity on the name, just saying really quickly, Apple Juice would have been so much fun to say. But so we got AirPower. We have the optional AirPods with the wireless charging. And we have the...
SE2, hopefully.
The SE2, hopefully.
Whatever it's going to be called. 8 mini. Yeah.
Can we look kudos on to the... I did not even connect the two about the SE... 10 or SEX. That was funny. I did not catch that. Clever.
I'm surprised, clever, I guess. Sir. You must not never look at the comments, because any time I talk about the SE, that's every comment is SE.
I pick and choose my battles.
Okay.
I, So, but I think the theme, so where I think where I was getting at with this and what I stand behind 110%, I find extra percent to just put into my bucket here, that wireless. I think the theme of this year is going to be wireless. And I'm hoping, just like you, and as everyone else is kind of, I see they're praying for this glass back iPad for the refresh. And if not, it is what it is. I kind of get it. But for the fact that, you see, you got this Air mat that, or I'm sorry, you got this mat for the power, the Apple. I'm spacing. What's it called? Air power. Oh, okay, that's right.
Apple AirPower. Juice threw you off.
So yeah, and so that is big enough to hold an iPad. And
it is, yeah.
Maybe the perception is off because HomePod did look bigger than what it is, but it looks like it's big enough to house it, to give it a good charge. And it might just be dedicated for the iPad, for all sizes of the iPad.
Yeah, my theory is that since we're hearing that the bezels are going to be smaller on the next-gen iPad, the same size all the way around, and my guess is the same size will be the thin sides of the 10.5-inch, except all the way around, no home button. It's big enough you could fit Face ID in there without a notch. But if they kept their – they didn't expand the display size. They kept their 10.5-inch or maybe even shrunk it a little bit and had the same size bezel all the way around, that would be the perfect size to be chargeable from any angle on the AirPower mat. That's I see the stars aligning so perfectly, but at the same time, it would be one of those things if they announce it and it has an aluminum back and they don't do anything wireless with it, I just go, yeah, okay.
So the problem – I think with a wireless charging iPad is that would it have to be square?
The iPad itself?
The back of it. I mean, you could do the rounded edges like the phones, but the back of it would have to be a flat piece of glass, right? It wouldn't be able to be styled the way they are, where the front
they're pretty flat on the back.
The front is flat, and then you have that slight curve.
The 10s on the sides are rounded off, and then the back is flat, just like any iPad. They're not curved on the back.
I'm double guessing. I have to look at my iPad right now. I think.
Well, I mean, even if they were, the Series 3 is curved glass on the back, and that can air power charge. So
that's true,
right? Well, that's
I was just thinking cost of curved glass might be more.
One complaint I was hearing more often was weight, because glass, two sheets would be a lot heavier, and Apple's usually not about that, but I'm hoping they put that aside and realize that no one complains about that.
So are we going to get a budget 2018 iPad this year? Because we have the 2017.
That's the other thing that could be at the keynote, if they had one in March. But
and so that,
humor me
that
really quickly. Let's
fine.
Build this. Mm-hmm. Let's build this out real quick then. The budget iPad possibly. Let's build the keynote might be in March if we did have one. You have the budget iPad possibly. Mm-hmm. You have the SE2. You have maybe the redesigned glass back iPad. You would definitely have the AirPower, and you would have the upgraded AirPods with the optional case. And then maybe they would do one more thing. I don't believe the rumor as strongly like the acquisition of Netflix per se, but maybe they will announce. Under Tim Cook, I see the strategy of teasing and cliffhangers is here's what we have coming to you later on this year. Maybe this one that in the next month or later on this year, you will get your modular Mac Pro or something to that effect. Maybe they'll show more of it. I'm thinking, what can you leave? I see their strategy now is they leave you wanting more with, and by the way, here's what we're working on. We will see you in WWDC. We will see you in fall time. We will see you next year. So I think for those five, I counted five right there, unless I'm missing something. That would be enough to fill about an hour and a half, I think, talking about sales, blah, blah, blah.
That could fill up. I personally don't think that the glass-backed iPad Pros would come out until summer, just because summer was the last time we got iPad Pro refresh, and it was a cool refresh, but they didn't talk about it very much. It was kind of like the last act of WWDC. They were just kind of like, and by the way, we have some new iPads. We made them the bezels are a little thinner, ProMotion. Anyway, bye. You know, it was kind of like a last minute. We also did this.
Well, because isn't WWDC meant for, like, software?
Yeah, and it's then primarily
they
about...
they decided to unveil a mm-hmm. lot of hardware at it, too, this
right.
year.
Right.
Last and year, I guess.
I think even Ming Chi Kuo was reporting that the SE2 might not even come out until WWDC. So I'm leaning towards probably not for the for a March keynote while I really want one. I think that the minor things, such as the AirPower release, the AirPods wireless charging case, and basically those small little releases, probably the HomePod stereo mode, all that likely comes out at the end of March via website refresh, and then we're going to get... My hope is the SE2 and the new iPads at WWDC as well, because last year, at least, I thought they framed it pretty well. They had six big things to announce, and the first four were the new operating systems between watchOS, macOS, iOS, tvOS, and then I think they had two more things, but the second one was the iPad. I'm not sure what the other thing was. There's so many now, but I think they wait now until they have like a good 2.5 hour long keynote to talk about everything. I think they might prefer that now. I think if they do that again this year, we better get used to it and just say, like, okay, stop expecting a November keynote or a March keynote. It's just the two every year, which is
a
shame.
And then if all those smaller upgrades that you're talking about, maybe that'll just make that one slide that just it's the catch-all. And AirPower releasing, and you know, it just have all this, just the text one. Maybe it'll make it there. I think more, but WWDC is definitely focused more on software, and I think they're gonna really drive software home this year, considering the bugs that we're dealing with iOS 11, and they really want to focus on that for iOS 12 to optimize it more. So I think I would rather have a more jam packed quality keynote than a bunch of little ones throughout the year. Even though I like seeing them, I want there to be substance behind it. I want them to, like, here's what we got, and if it's going to come out summer anyway, WWDC is perfect timing. Then okay, you'll get this, start shipping end of the month, and so I agree. I think I'd rather have two complete ones than a bunch of little ones that are just time.
And that's the thing, like the two big keynotes last year, I already think, well, as big and exciting as they were, there's so much they don't need to talk about.
Yeah.
Like every 20 minutes of the first 20 minutes of every Apple keynote I watch now is something you could skip over. It's them talking about Apple stores or about some building they're working on. And that's great. And it's like, hey, you're renewable energy. Wonderful. I'm proud of you. But we're not here for that. Like, we believe that. We didn't need to be told that. We were just here for the iPhones, you know. I think they know that if they put that at the end of the keynote, everyone would just stop watching anyway. So they put that at the beginning, just so they have us sheep on the edge of our feet the whole time.
Well, that's like, what, that one keynote 2 years ago where the first half of it, it was one of the smaller keynotes, but the first half of it was all eco-friendly and this and that, and the robot that takes apart old iPhones.
By far, I was still in college, but it was the first keynote I remember ending and being like, was that really it?
Yeah.
It was, I think they announced, you're right. It was half of it was just talking about how eco-friendly they are and about how they recycle old iPhones. And then they announced the SE, which at the time the 5S was not that old. So we were like, oh, you updated the 5S. And then they announced not the Air 3, but the iPad Pro 9.7 inch.
Yeah.
Which had come out 3 months after the 12.9 inch iPad Pro. So everyone was like, oh, okay. You added a camera bump to the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. That was it. Yay. And then they left. It was like 60 minutes flat. And I think they're kind of smart to avoid events like that where they're kind of out of things to talk about, so they just start talking about whatever.
I think that's why they're doing it this way, because they know that they don't want that again.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that keynote. I was kind of like,
did you guys? I don't like keep up on the tech podcast. Mm-hmm. Have you guys talked about, like, the rumors or differences between the SE2 versus the whatever the next iPhone is that's going to be the 10, but coming out this year, the 2018 version of it?
Because
people keep saying that those are going to be the same and the SE is going to be like $700.
I was told the SE2 would be more of a 4-inch version of an iPhone 8. You know, sporting the A11 chip with a 4K at 60 camera in a glass back, but not adopting Face ID, still keeping a home button.
There's all those rumors that keep coming out of, like, the small, like, iPhone 5C version of an iPhone 10.
The 10C?
Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, cheaper.
We've talked briefly on the 6.1-inch LCD budget phone rumors.
That's what it was.
Yeah, which I don't believe are true. I don't know Randy's thoughts on that. But
no, I actually, to sum it up very quickly, I think you hit the nail on the head that I think people are just kind of fusing the two rumors between the two. And I think they're concluding to that. It doesn't fit right. I don't see how it is. Just for humor on my side, I like to get my tinfoil hat and be like, no, this is Apple. Just, you know, they don't want another leak. So it's either people are confusing the two, or they're merging the two,
mm-hmm.
or it's all this misreported information intentionally, which I think would be really cool if they were doing that on purpose to kind of throw off the scent. But either way, it doesn't make sense to me. The concept of it is, it just seems, as an R&D cost for people who said, I don't understand where it's going to be cost effective. And
at $700.
Yeah. At $700. Tell me, when did that become cost effective?
The one that killed it for me was they said no 3D touch.
Right.
And I was like, no, they've had that since the 6S. That's so old of technology.
You wouldn't introduce a bigger screen for the first time and then have it be the weakest of the three. I just don't see that. And I'm quietly, this year, I'm actually sitting back very quietly and just kind of observing from afar, because I feel like there's a lot of misinformation being spread, and, you know, just like news in general, someone's going to take and they're going to run with it without maybe doing more research on it. And I feel like somewhere along the line, this kind of built on itself that, no, yeah, the 6.1 or 6.2 is interesting. Like, I don't see why that would be a focal point to, like, you know, that's what we need. That's what the consumer wants, when the SE's purpose of it all, or the budget one, was that people liked the smaller form factor. There is a market for it, maybe not in America as much as across the world, but there is a market for it. They don't want something that's competing with your iPad mini, you know?
We don't have an iPhone right now that's above 6 inches, and they're saying that the first one that is going to be this trimmed down weak. Yeah, I was like,
absolutely.
Apple's always been about the bigger thing gets more power than the little thing. That's like,
right.
There's no 21.5-inch iMac Pro. There's no budget HomePod. There's the 8 Plus has two cameras. The 8 doesn't. You know, that's just kind of always how Apple's gone about their way. And I think that I really don't think it's too out there to suggest that Apple probably would be leaking as much weird fake news as possible to the community to try to get our hopes down.
Well, I remember when we thought the 10 was the 8. And then they were like, actually, you're wrong. The 10 is the 10, and then the 7S is actually the 8, and there is no 7S. And that was, everyone was like, oh, okay, well, we were wrong. But no, you said that maybe not in America, the SE, that form factor. And while this is in America, so that kind of doesn't relate, but a lot of girls and women. When I was in high school, I remember a lot of girls had the SE because a lot of the time, girls have smaller hands, and that phone would work really, really well for them. And so,
not only that, but pockets.
Pockets.
It's a complaint my girlfriend has: is a lot of women's clothing can't hold as big a pockets as guys' pockets do. So I'm sure the SE is more pocket friendly in that regard.
I mean, I remember my mom. She had the 5S and then upgraded to the SE because she liked that form factor the most. She eventually got a 7 Plus for the same reason that I did, which was just it has the better cameras. But I think that's why the 10 also appeals to so many people, not for all of the fancy no home button, Face ID, bezel-less. I think a lot of the reason a lot of people like to get it is because it has two cameras in the small form factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they picked a good size fits all, because they realized they could only do one size of the 10 anyway, just because parts were so minimal. But yeah, I think they picked a good middle ground that's like, it's display is larger than a Plus phone, but you know the width is the same of a smaller phone. It's more
the
compact.
10 is the best iPhone I think I've held since the iPhone 4 or maybe even the 5 when I got it. I love this phone so much because I'm a sucker for screen quality, displays, and stuff like that. And the fact that the screen is bigger than the Plus series, it was a no-brainer for me. But also the fact that the screen resolution, it's not a 1080, it's higher than that. And I can hold it in one hand and I can do everything with the assisted where it can let you slide down to get the
reachability.
Reachability. With that enabled, I do everything one hand, and I love that. I loved my Plus series for the camera, strictly for the camera. I'm also a very big videographer and photographer. I love using my camera for all these purposes of it, but at the same time, where I'm getting at is that I love the iPhone 10. It's the best one, and I don't I think this is the perfect middle ground, like you said, and there's no way I'm keeping this phone at the end of the year. I normally trade in, and I'm on this leasing with the Apple program, and I think I'm actually going to pay off this phone early, hold on to it, and kind of just use it as my reference, especially if it's going to be – if they're going to stop production of it at the end of the year when they bring out the next phone. It's going to be something that I like to hold on to as like, hey, I still got my Series 0 Apple Watch. And it's just – for me, it's just like it's my little collection. You got your boxes. I got some old tech just that's in a drawer somewhere. I like it. It's going to be something I'm going to enjoy going back and, wow, remember how thick this was, how heavy this was? Remember that camera bump? And it's just – it's going to be fun to look at it. So – I love everything about this phone. This is one of the greatest phones that they put out. All these rumors about it's selling poor. The numbers say otherwise. It does. It's
They'll
not cannibalizing
say
sales.
Bad they can,
yeah. I know they will, but because it sells, and I get that. But at the same time, notice how quickly everybody got quiet when Tim Cook released his numbers. Everybody stopped talking about how bad the iPhone 10 was.
Yeah, or discontinuation rumors died immediately.
Yeah.
It's great.
Everyone says it was selling really bad. I've seen more 10s in public than I have 8s and 8 pluses, I think.
Well, I've seen more 10s adopted than any other iPhone refresh ever. I remember when the 7 came out and back in the 6S came out. And even I was still in high school when the 5S came out. And no, the 5 came out was my freshman year. And I remember how long it took before I started seeing the most current flagship regularly from Apple.
Right.
And this one, it was almost instant. It was like right into November. And this is Butte County, by the way. We're not a big, rich city
full of
a bunch of wealthy class people, if anything, quite the opposite here. And yet we see tens. I think Xander was telling me a story because he works at McDonald's that he saw an entire family with tens, including a little 6-year-old.
It was like a family and like – it looked like an aunt and a cousin were with them or like something like that, where it was a lot of people that I knew wasn't just like one family, you know, but one household. But the dad had a 10 and the daughter had a 10, and you could tell it was hers because she had one of those really like big cases with like the textured unicorn on it, and it's like the ears and the horns stick out past the case and stuff. Like it was a case like that.
She's got a great skin on her phone.
And she had that, and that was hers. The mom, I believe, had a 7 Plus or an 8 Plus, and the other two people that were there had some form of very recent new iPhone, but like, it was like this little girl just has an iPhone 10. It's hers.
No,
it wasn't like, oh, okay, we're gonna eat. Let me put that in my purse now. It was like, no, that's her phone, and it was very weird.
Now, me and Xander have not seen a single Pixel 2 in public.
I know.
Randy lives in a more populated area. I was curious if you've ever seen someone with one.
To this day, and I put this on everything, to this day, in San Diego County, overall, and I've traveled all over too, I have never in person seen any Pixel ever.
That restores hope for humanity. We have smart people in the world.
I had to go to a Verizon store to just go in there, just so I can see what I like. No, what's this True Blue or Actual Blue, whatever they were calling these silly names. I wanted to know what it was. I had to go in. And even then, when I went in, the models weren't even up on display. Oh. So I'm like, okay, I have no idea what this is. Ooh, but look at the new – at the time, the S8 had came out. Like, ooh, but look at the S8. Let me go play with that. Mm-hmm. So – I have not seen it in public, and it's the weirdest thing. It's not that because people can't get them. In San Diego, where I work, I see Model S's available. Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
people have money here, and nobody wants to touch. Nobody's touching the Pixel line. Nobody.
What's interesting is if I met MKBHD in person, he would be the first person to be using a Pixel 2 in front of me.
I actually haven't physically seen a Pixel 2.
Oh, anywhere at all. Okay.
I haven't even gone to a store with you guys and looked at one yet.
We could walk to Best Buy and probably, because we go in there just to humor it. I can't stand
to try it out.
I have not. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what it looks like. I don't even know what it smells like. I just know that I look at the models of what they have for the renders up on the official website, and then I see the reviews on YouTube. That's the extent of what it actually looks like as real as possible. But in person, I couldn't tell you. And it's not the sexiest phone. It's not the most exciting phone. There's nobody down here. Cosmetics mean everything down here. And nobody wants to be seen holding a brick phone that looks like it was supposed to be released back in 2015. So,
well, especially if you get the original jack? Pixel 2. Yeah. The original, the not XL version of the Pixel 2 doesn't look any different than the Pixel 1.
I've actually never seen one of those. And they don't have the regular Pixel 2 on display at Best Buy.
I think that's because
for a reason.
Yeah.
A, doesn't look any different.
Even Best Buy was like,
B,
no, we can't do that.
It's just, it doesn't look good.
No, we need to draw as much customers into this building as possible. We're not going to put that is not the face of Best Buy. We're not going to put it out there for people to see.
That's
go
offensive.
Grab one of those notes. Go grab one of the Pixel 2s. Go grab one of those 10s. Put them right there. Can we get put the gear away? We don't want the gear. Get the Apple Watch. Come on. Is this your first day, Jeff?
We're Best Buy and we charged an extra $100 per iPhone 10, and we still think that's not a good deal. We're not putting the Pixel 2 anywhere.
No, yeah. I don't know. It's just not an attractive phone. I'm not excited about it. I believe the AI is great. I believe, the single lens camera. I do truly believe that. But at the end of the day, I'm not taking photos, 5 to 10 times a day. I'm not.
We use two cameras for more than portrait mode,
Exactly.
It's just about one
I actually
thing.
Had a very really quickly I had a discussion with Nick about this. We were talking about the fact that people but look at the bokeh effect, and it only requires but you're not understanding what a telephoto lens is meant for
then.
That's not
what telephoto is for.
That's not
blurring
what it's for.
Images. Yeah, that's not it.
So I sent Nick two different photos. Of the exact, I had a Starbucks coffee on my desk, and I was like, look, one captures more of the background, the one actually has the subject more. And I was just showing, I try to explain this to people, and what I told them was, I explain this to people at work who don't have the dual lens system, and because the next one up will always be a Samsung for me, where I see people having that instead. They're like, well, how's that double? And I'm like, listen, so I take a photo, I show them. And they still don't get it, and I'm like, okay, then you're not going to get it. You're not a photographer or a videographer, so I'm not going to hold it against you. But my point is that hardware-wise, they can only improve the software from there, but at least we have two different cameras to go off of. If Apple wanted to lock one down and okay, let's make bokeh with one, they could do that. But the purpose of having the second lens is not just so you can have fancy blurred out backgrounds, though it's doing it very well for all these phones.
Sure.
You have more options, and the best the next one that I would lean to using the camera for would be the LG V30 with the wide lens, because then thank you, he gets it. You can use the second lens for other things, and maybe you want to have the mood look a little bit different. So there's more to these cameras than just blurred out backgrounds. So I think it's a weak argument to hold. We only have one lens. Good for you, but
and they never want to bring up the fact that the Pixel 2 cannot provide you with a live feed of how the portrait mode's going to look. That when you're taking a portrait mode picture, whether it's front facing, rear facing, with an iPhone or even a Galaxy Note, or I don't think the S8 can, but I think the Note 8 will show a live preview of it. blurring the background. That way, as from a photographer's point of view, you want to see what you're about to take a picture of.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas the Pixel 2, you take the picture, you open the photo library, it takes a good couple seconds to process, and then you see what it looks like. And it's right. It's good.
That's
it did a
like
good job.
Before
but...
the 10 came out, and you were like, oh, I want to take a portrait mode selfie. So you would take it, and you're like, oh, it didn't blur that part. Or,
yeah,
oh,
you'd have to,
that
you'd have
right
to
there.
Turn the camera around.
And you'd have to try it again and again until you were like, there we
I would
go.
Use my yeah. Apple Watch to help me look at
yes.
it.
Yes,
you know.
We did that too. I would take it with my nose. Yeah.
Yeah, that says like, okay. And I had to time it for 3, 2, 1. I can't just do it, so... Yeah.
Right.
Harder times.
Right.
Humble beginnings.
Right.
So, Drew,
yes.
quick question here, because I'll tell you where I stand afterwards.
Okay.
But really quickly, how do you feel about going all silver for your ecosystem now?
Oh, man. Yeah, you must have watched my recent video.
I did.
So, I wasn't even thinking about it. I've always been a space gray guy for the longest time. Ever since the iPhone 5, I've been space gray. But then... this fan sent in a silver iPhone 10, and I've really only seen that a couple of times at a store or something, but with the chrome edges and the white glass back and seeing how that contrasts in lighting in different rooms, I was kind of like, man, you know what? I think if the next iPad goes with a glass back with white and black bezels on the front.
I was going to say, that's your thing, though.
Yeah, I will not buy an iPad if it has white bezels. Then it's off. Then I'll stay space gray. But if the next one can keep black bezels with a white glass back, I think I'll consider switching. Now, I'm not telling people that I'm going to give away all the space gray stuff or I'm selling the iMac Pro or anything. Everything I've bought and owned stays. It's just every time I buy a new product from here on out, I'll switch to silver, depending on how that iPad Pro looks. Because,
right.
I mean, the iMac Pro space gray matches everything, but nothing matches the AirPods.
Right.
So now, we got to match everything. Now the question is, would you get a stainless steel watch, or would you get a silver aluminum watch?
I would get an edition.
That's fair.
Neither. Ooh. And it would match the AirPods, yeah.
There you go.
I'm hoping by that point at the end of this year that'll be possible. We'll see, but
what if they come out with a blush gold edition? I mean, they have white and they have space gray, and that matches the 8 Plus. So the only addition that isn't out yet would be the glass of the blush gold color.
That's possible.
That
I wouldn't get it, but it'd
that
be interesting.
That would look really interesting, because that's a very, like, pink-white glass.
I think they're going to have to experiment with color options with the Series 4, because functionality-wise, they got not much
I can't think of anything that they can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, the watch is amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. One of the best. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you recommended getting the Apple Watch as the first addition to the iPhone over the AirPods. Was that correct?
Yeah, I would say so because you use AirPods selectively, whereas the watch is something that you realize how useful it is the more by wearing it almost constantly. Like
and
the only time I don't wear it is when it's charging.
The
watch
AirPods,
is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The AirPods... are in fact boosted by the watch. The AirPods get better if you have the watch because
you
can play and pause and skip and control volume.
If you get an Apple Watch first, you appreciate AirPods
exactly.
much more.
And if having the Apple Watch and then getting the AirPods, whereas if you get the AirPods, the Apple Watch isn't really helped by the AirPods that much.
Not
but
really.
The AirPods are helped a lot by the Apple Watch. Because
good, true.
I've mapped my AirPods to where double tapping the right ear is skip forward and double tapping the left ear is skip backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually have them set for Siri at all,
mm-hmm.
which is nice because it's very nice to be able to skip songs. But
mm-hmm.
in order to pause, the only way to pause is to take it out of your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have the Apple Watch, not only can you control the volume that
volume's
way,
on the
which
crown.
You can't do on the
mm-hmm.
AirPods by themselves,
mm-hmm.
but you can pause it right there without having to take them out. You can
mm-hmm.
ask Siri to change a song or send a text or do anything, and
right.
that comes out via the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, with me, I'm a little different because I have the Apple Watch Sport, so my Siri doesn't actually speak.
Right.
But
okay.
The three speaks. Yeah.
For me, it's a very silent digital assistant.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if it's not interrupting my music by talking to me and her voice coming over and dimming the music down and saying,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, this is what I'm doing," but it's also not disturbing anybody else. I don't know if you can mute it on the Series 3.
There probably is, yeah. That sounds like something they'd have.
But it's just the AirPods are a very good boost to your iPhone and Apple Watch. Not really the other way around. The Apple Watch doesn't really boost the AirPods in any way.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I think I think it might be time for that, but there's a couple voicemail questions about that particular subject. So
there is.
We might go into that soon, yeah.
We're about to go into that. Okay. Really quickly, before we get into our new segment, I have this little competition going on with Nick about asking abstract questions.
Oh, and sweet. So these are my favorite.
I'm challenging him to top this. For the sake that some of the voicemails are actually, I like where we went, but we'll get into that in a second. I decided to get a little bit even more abstract, but keep it to Talos of Tech still. So my one question, and it'll be a bunch of like little questions, but you'll know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
For the Talos of Network overall, where do you see the future of the network going to, or what plans would you say that you want to have or go with? I know that tech is the main audience that we have going forward, but given with the YouTube policy changes that happen, and the next best one that, or the biggest channel that you have will be the Talks channel. Mm-hmm. Does that make you want to reevaluate how your current layout is with the network, does it make you just want to double down on it? Are you going to try to do something different or new with Talos of Tech and the Talos of Network, or are you more against the towards the approach of if it's not broken, don't fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The challenge that I'm hoping to achieve this year, which I've talked about lots of times, is I'm hoping to save enough money so that we can at least experiment with the idea of taking my editor Nathan on full time. Okay. Because right now he's working part time. He used to edit tech videos. Now that my tech videos files are so big, I can't send them anymore. He's editing the vlogs on the Talks channel. What we've discovered, which has actually been really great, the fact that he's editing for a different channel now, is that when we go all in and when we go daily on a particular channel, as long as I can promote that channel and let my fans know, because I don't really promote the other channels as much because there's not as much to see right now. So, you know, I want to grow the gaming channel and make more content for gaming, but right now there's just not much going on, so I wouldn't want to tell everyone, hey, everyone, make sure to check out gaming, when there's not much to see. Same with movie reviews, same with the main channel. But more recently, and you might notice this depending on how I film and talk about stuff in my videos, I kind of constantly drop Talos of Talks subtly as it comes up in conversation. I'm just like, oh, you're asking about the Logan Paul situation. I encourage you to subscribe to this channel. Or, oh, I'm going to review this gimbal, which I will use on this channel. And I've been kind of directing people that way, and we've now gotten to the point where, I'm paying Nathan, and I've given him a couple raises since he started working for me because he's had more expenses in life, and when I got the new Blackmagic camera, I didn't want to just fire him and say, I have nothing for you to do. So my plan, actually, the Talks channel made little to no money, was to have him edit vlogs on there as practice for the future. But I would actually be losing money. I would not be gaining anything from that. It would literally be me paying Nathan for episodes and videos that would make nothing. So that was the plan. Now that we've done this for a couple weeks now, a couple months, we've gotten to the point now where the Talks channel, because of the success of the vlogs, people always watching there, and because of all the plugging I've been giving it on tech, it's actually starting to pay for itself. We've hit a point where the Talks channel, I wouldn't say has turned a profit, but the vlogs, through their success, through their ad revenue, is actually covering Nathan's paycheck. So we're at least breaking even there. So my hope is this year at some point we'll be able to get him up here for a couple months full-time, and with that be able to do more daily or every other day content on gaming, on movie reviews, and hopefully even weekly videos with the Saturday shorts on the main channel. So yeah, YouTube's been very discouraging lately with their new rules and stuff, but what doesn't change is the fact is I have the people listening to this. I have the fans that are still watching, tech channel still growing. Today, while we were recording this, we passed 71,000, which was...
Congratulations.
Yeah, big numbers.
I wanted to be the first to say it.
Yeah, you were first. And as that number keeps growing, it means that despite the other channels not getting monetized and now not having any ad revenue because they don't make as much, it's very, very easy for us now to turn that around because we have such a loud... every day our voice is a little bit louder. So when I tell, 70,000 people to go check out this thing, it's likely that a couple thousand will. And then I've experimented with some of the edited gaming videos on gaming, and we've seen the audience really like that kind of thing. So we kind of have an idea of what we'll have Nathan be doing. And then Xander and I also have big plans for like multiplayer LAN party kind of podcast edited streams that we want to get into. We just don't have the time or equipment for it right now. But yeah, that's kind of the goal for Talos of 2018 is to hopefully get to a point where we can hire two people full time and have consistent content across all the channels, because the primary reason I was afraid about just doing tech was I know full well that there are times in which tech is not that exciting. There's not much happening.
Right.
And when that happens, your income becomes quite a variable. Whereas if we had content that lots of people enjoyed watching across lots of channels, in that case, we'd have pretty consistent income no matter what. So that'll be the hope. But as long as tech is the biggest channel, it will still be the priority, which means that I'm never going to stop doing tech videos so that I can focus on some other channel, because that would basically be burning cash. It's still the most important. And also just me and Xander talk about tech anyway all the time. So it's not like I'm tired of tech or I hate tech but feel like I have to do it. It's still something I think us at Talos are very passionate about.
Yeah, even just earlier today, really, we were like talking about stuff. I don't know what, but we were just talking about stuff.
That's kind of just our conversation.
That's why this podcast is so nice, because we just sit here. And while it is a bit more structured, and there's a few different things than our regular conversations. It's really the same thing. We're just sitting here. Saying our ideas about stuff, talking about complaints and things that happen.
Yeah, that don't.
It's just, you know.
So there will always be a time in the day or a place in my time for the tech channel. So that listeners out there hearing about the other channels getting more attention and getting more people, I don't want anyone out there thinking that tech will get neglected. The only instance in which it would is if some other channel became bigger. And I don't think that's going to happen for a long time.
Really quickly, Drew, if I may, for the listeners out there, even though I'm, behind the scenes, working with the team, doing the audio stuff here, I also want to say that I'm a fan first.
Yeah.
And I maybe it'll mean more or different coming from a fan's point of view, but I can tell you firsthand that I've checked out the other channels, even the ones that don't have, but maybe... Not even close to 1,000, but I checked out the whole network, and and I could tell you that to the listeners that if you enjoy the content and how they are, if you enjoy more or less Drew's format, I could tell you that you will definitely one enjoy the talks, you will enjoy the movie reviews when you guys. Like, my favorites thus far would probably have to be the Star Wars, because I think that was one of the longer ones that you guys had. I had someone, I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, no, totally. And so for those who are engaged with the network, you guys are going to love the other channels. And this is, Drew will give me the money later for plugging. I'm just kidding. No, but sincerely, the other channels, I encourage everybody else to take a look at it. If maybe this is the first time you're hearing it because it got brought up. I'm not sure how everyone's finding the channel, but. It will be at least worth giving it a try, and I can tell you as a fan first that they are very entertaining, and you get to just see more behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's just, who doesn't want to – if you're on YouTube and you're consuming content, then I can recommend three more channels for you right off the bat, and they're all under the same network.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah, the idea was literally like this wasn't some grandmaster plan. I think one day YouTube updated their site, and under account they had ad channel.
Right.
And as soon as I saw that button, I was like, oh, what if I could just make whatever I want? And I just had to change the channel name every time I uploaded. That way you can care about my thoughts on tech, my thoughts on movies, my thoughts on games, and when we make Saturday shorts. And yeah, it was all just kind of a what if situation. Man. And we're still striving for that. And I think it'd be fun to get to that point. And More importantly, I don't know very many channels or networks that would do it in that configuration. I know other big channels out there do all kinds of stuff, but they put it all on one channel. Right. And I was really wanted to be clear with people that just because of the monetization situation, we're not going to start putting vlogs on Tech or rename the Tech channel just Talosive and just start uploading everything to the same. I was always against that from the beginning. Yeah. The idea of we don't want to spam your subscriptions feed with stuff you don't care about. So if you just want Tech and Gaming, you can just have that. If you just want vlogs, you can have that. That was the whole idea, and hopefully this year we'll get to see that.
You have a very you have a very clean model there, and that's something that you and I had talked about, you know, offline about it. Mm-hmm. Where the structure of it is so clean, because otherwise, eventually, one would hope to be as successful as like the next PewDiePie.
Sure.
But when you look at his subscriber count and then you look at his viewer count, there's a mass difference of people who are watching it, because he puts everything in one. So, you know, pros and when you're that successful, maybe it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But the fact that your format is so clean, it's so good.
Yeah, so, I still think that we're in the development phase of YouTube, to be honest.
Right.
I think that while it seems like there's been all this history and there's all these big YouTubers, I still think that we're in the beginning, because right now it's still more popular among younger generations, and a lot of people still watch cable TV. But over the next couple decades, I think we're going to see most people switch and find out that they can find the more genuine, find the more specific equipment they want to find on YouTube primarily. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering my question, Nick, your move. And we're going to go into our new segment.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some voicemails. If you would like to call in and have your question or comment on the show, call 1-855-841-1277. It's going to go straight to a voicemail. You'll leave your voicemail. Myself or Nick will go through them and screen them. Guys, really quickly, it's very important that you understand this. Please understand where we're coming from on our end. Please leave your voicemail under a minute. There's a few that we got that went way over a minute. We're looking for that 30 seconds to a minute time frame. It's so that way we can get to more callers, and your questions can be more concise. We had one guy who called in. It was almost like 5 minutes, and I couldn't listen to it. It was too much. So it's not that we don't want to hear you guys. It's just we want to be fair for everybody, and then we'll go through it. The only way I can probably guarantee that it will probably make the show is be unique with your questions. Have them relevant. Make them unique. Don't ask something that Drew has already answered 27 different times just in the last 3 weeks. I counted. So those are your secret hints right there. You can call that number, and
you have big elaborate things to say, just upload a video and, you know, send us the link. We'll watch that.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, no. But for the voicemail and filling up the inbox, me and Nick are giving us a lot of work to do. But so this segment, we're trying out, we're thinking about calling it hashtag call Talosive. Mm-hmm. So you in here, we will go through these voicemails. Right now we got four. We got some across the board here, and let's take a listen to the first one and talk about it.
Okay.
Hello, Drew and Nick. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday. My name is Matt Sleven. You may have known me as X and Tech Pro in the comments. Rocky Bro 29 on Xbox. But not really a big question for you guys, but a small one. I know you're into that awkward time period of the year where whether you should buy something or wait for the refresh. I was wondering if I should buy an Apple Watch Series 3 or wait for the Series 4. No, not one of the biggest questions, but a question. Have a good night. And
yeah, me and Xander still have this discussion occasionally. I think we're leaning towards 4 every day. We get a little bit closer to say, just wait.
I have, because I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Because any watch for me is an upgrade. I basically, when looking at the Apple Watch market, is basically like, I don't really have one right now. Which one do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And I legitimately can't decide. I don't know if, I guess maybe it just depends on
the financial situation, yeah.
Yeah, if it's, I mean, the 3 would be fine. I would be totally okay with that.
I'd probably put a deadline on it and say maybe for the rest of February. If you can afford a Series 3 now, go ahead. But now I'd say it's probably the last month. Once you get into March, I'd say, might want to start waiting. Unless you can find a good deal.
Next one comes out in what, September?
September, yeah. So I'd say probably February is the last straw. If you haven't bought a Series 3 yet, better make up your mind now. If you can't afford one in February, go ahead and wait. Wait till the next one. Because you don't want to buy one 2 months before they refresh it and then feel like you got cheated
out. Also, is a good question on whether or not the person has an Apple Watch already.
Ah.
Because if you do, I guess it also depends on which year you have. Mm-hmm. But if you already have one, I would say probably wait, I guess.
If you can have one already, it'd probably make it.
If you don't have one and you're like, man, I really, really want one right now, you could just get a non-cellular.
That's a good rule. If you don't have a watch, wait till the get one before the end of February. If you do have a watch now, go ahead and keep it.
If you have a watch, if you already have a watch, Apple that's kind of on you. Kind of like on your, like, whether or not you want to wait or not.
Mm-hmm. Or if you have a broken one, mm-hmm. I could understand wanting to get a new one. So I'd say.
If you have the Series 0, I can tell you personally for me, I went from Series 0 to Series 3 LTE. Mm-hmm. If you guys are in the market, I can tell you that the speed boost is crazy, without the LTE. Mm-hmm. It's so noticeable. There's nothing wrong with the Series 0, but.
No.
If you are in the market and you're looking for it, yeah, I think this is a good cutoff right here because then you're coming to the half-year mark, and at that point, you might as well just wait. Mm-hmm. The issue I saw with the Series 0 for me is that the battery was just dying a lot quicker because it's an older one.
Yeah,
that's the problem I have with mine.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tiny lithium battery. Yeah, it's going to degrade a little bit. So.
You mean they're throttling me?
Yeah, those texts. They get their half a second slower, just a little.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But yeah, good question. We're still, that's, I ask myself that question every day.
Yeah, I really don't.
I don't.
It kind of is just personal opinion, really.
Or you could be like me and buy another Series 3 after owning a Series 3 for 3 months.
I've kind of always been the guy that's like, well, I want the upgrade and I need the upgrade, so I'll get the upgrade now, even though the new stuff is coming out soon. I have been that guy. I got my 7 Plus, 2 months before the 8s came out.
Didn't you get your 6S in, March of the following year?
I don't remember.
It was a ways after, I think. It was after the SE came out. I know that. So, yeah, it had to be past March at some point. But, yeah, good question.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's our next caller. He has a question in regards to AR or Apple vehicles.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Jordan from San Diego. My question was, so Apple usually isn't the first to come out with new tech. They usually just try to improve it later on. Right now, we know that they have their hand in self-driving cars, or at least self-driving tech, and they also have their hands in augmented reality. They're both about the same distance away for the consumer. Like, we'll probably get those around the same time. So what are your bets that Apple comes out with first? Thanks, guys.
Hey, okay. San Diego.
Cool, yeah. Good question. I would say AR is more of a definite thing. I would still fall on the fence about the car situation being reality. I still have seen rumors flip-flop on that so much that I'm not even sure if it's going to happen.
You think the car might be some form of, augmented reality?
There's a mixture there, yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But the car thing, I'm not sure if it's going to be just the software or it could be a hardware development. It could go either way.
One of these is more difficult than the other, too.
Oh, yeah. I think, ways. I'd say both are tricky.
I think it depends how they approach the car. You know, I think it's safe to say they're not developing, you know, from the ground up their own car. So whatever software that they're going to try to put into these future vehicles, they have their own challenges. And then having the AR become, you know, its own platform.
Yeah.
I would have to say I thought about this after hearing the call. I think AR would come first because it would easier to. Get the feedback on. Not everybody either is old enough to drive a car, can afford whatever the car that would hold the software. Mm-hmm. I have a car that holds CarPlay, and that's the closest to it that I got. But I could tell you from experience that you're not missing anything by not having CarPlay.
Sure.
And so as opposed to AR, that it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter anything. AR is more universal. I think they would focus on that one first while still – playing around with their car platform on the back end. I see AR coming out first since they already made a big deal about it last year anyway, you know?
Yeah, we've got AR kit in development, and like you said, also the AR hardware itself, while I don't think it's ready at this time, we're seeing Intel kind of experiment with their AR glasses, and I think Apple will have something likely like that. And that's something easily marketable to consumers that will be, you know, you pair this with the phone and you can see holograms and you can see widgets and stuff like that. Whereas the car, you know, even me, the big Apple sheep, probably wouldn't be able to get one.
Mm-hmm.
If they came out with that, even if it's in the next couple of years, I probably wouldn't be able to get one. I'd probably have to schedule a meetup with a fan who could afford one or something like that. But, yeah, I definitely say AR is a lot closer than the car situation because it's less letters, you know, CAR versus AR.
Mm-hmm. That's the spend way more on the marketing.
The marketing has way too many letters in it. So yeah, I'd say AR is potentially 2019 or 2020. 2020 would be hilarious because of the pun itself. But the car thing is still like a maybe, whereas the glasses thing is to me a definite. I think that's happening no matter what.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next call. His question has to do in regards to cable TV and maybe Apple's foot in the game with that, as well as any personal role models you have in the YouTube community or in life.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Taylor Swift. I'm Brady Stoles, also known as Many Random Things, maybe by you guys. I'm not sure if you can remember all of your fans. I also may be one of your youngest fans. I'm only 12. I was wondering what you think about cable TV and how it is going obsolete and if you think it might be fully done soon. Also, just a personal view question. Who is a role model you have and look up to? Keep up the great work, guys.
Okay, well, the cable TV funny thing is that it doesn't seem like cable providers are trying to stop their own death at all. It seems like every day they keep trying to make it worse. It's like they don't realize that everyone's cutting the cord and switching to internet services, and yet they keep making the ads worse, the cable experience worse, and it doesn't get cheaper. It's like, okay, they've just kind of admitted death.
My grandpa has had two. He had Dish Network, and then he swapped to DirecTV because he got a better deal on it.
Yeah.
And user interface-wise, none of them are good.
Yeah, I've never seen a good cable.
Very complicated, actually. It's very difficult. Like, you press the record button. You have a separate area where you have your recorded stuff. But then there's stuff that you have in, like, a watch list. And then there's the on-demand section.
And you record ads.
Yeah.
And you skip through the ads while watching the recorded content. So that's the funny thing about cable TV is that it's obviously dying.
I would say the closest we have to cable TV is Hulu. We have the ad-free version.
Oh, well.
But
that's not, that's not
cable.
Well,
I mean, but that's, I know, but that's to that experience. That's, I think, the closest because that is very, like, from the content creator. I mean, it still has the opening logo for ABC or NBC or whatever. It has the watermark in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, that's the closest experience that we have.
Yeah, and it's way cheaper.
Because there was a way to get it without ads, we did. But, I mean, the one with ads, before you start anything, there's, like, I believe 2 30-second ads before you watch anything.
Right.
Occasionally at commercial breaks, they'll put an ad in if you're watching a TV show. So, I mean,
yeah, Hulu, they're doing nothing. Cable TV is basically just
existing.
They're pulling a Terminator and just giving a thumbs up as they sink into hot water. They're just kind of like, I guess we're done. We're just going to...
I order you not to die.
Every time I see cable TV, they play the same ad over and over and over again.
The quality is
Is over. You can stop now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, I can pay more, get more ads, have the ads not be relevant, and the content I pay for, most of which I don't watch. So, yeah, it's definitely going down slowly. Some people are just used to it. That's why they're still paying for it. But it's only a matter of time before that's not even a thing.
I take back what I said. Actually, the most, like, the closest way to get cable TV digitally is YouTube TV. I used the free trial of that. They had a 7-day free trial. I used it for about 2 hours. I was looking through the user interface. It's a very different user interface. But I was looking through it, and I tried watching things, and there were ads.
Same.
There is no ad-free YouTube TV that I know of. Unless,
well, because it's just live.
Unless there was some subscription somewhere, but but it wasn't like the TV's ads. Mm-hmm. They like went over that with YouTube's ads.
Oh, okay.
So there was like the yellow ad break markers everywhere that see. And I loaded up a movie because, cable networks have movies that they have. And so I went to Fox's YouTube TV channel and looked at all the movies they had. And the first X-Men was on there. And I was like, hey, you know what? I like this movie. I'll watch it. There was, I want to say that's a roughly 2-ish hour movie or whatever. I didn't even start because looking at the yellow markers for where ads are supposed to be,
10 seconds of ad.
There was at least 10 to 15 ad break markers in there.
Hey, and I was Xander,
like, I'm done.
Hypothetically, of course, question for you: with those yellow markers there, would they still be there if you had some type of hypothetical ad blocker up?
Asking for a friend. I don't know because I've never actually used an ad blocker.
Ah, okay.
So,
I'll get back to you.
I know. It's really odd.
Hypothetically, I'll get back to you.
Oh, yeah. Hypothetically, yeah.
I know you know how to use ad block.
I've just never done it.
You're the kind of person that could figure that out in a heartbeat, but you don't.
I've used VPNs, and that's kind of the same thing, just a little weirder.
We know where to pirate stuff, too, but no, not ad block.
Yeah, no, I don't have
such
that
a
one.
Funny way.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Mainly because the computers I always used were at school, and school didn't allow you to download those. So that was the main.
They probably didn't want ads on there anyway. But in terms of personal role models, what's funny is that most of the YouTubers that inspired me to become a YouTuber aren't really doing anything anymore, for several reasons. One was Dom Farah, who made this old animated little video called The Laser Collection. He kind of did short films and skits and feature films even growing up, and that kind of inspired me to want to kind of do the same thing. And the first YouTube channel I ever remember watching was Ed's World, which was just a cartoon show about just these cartoon characters doing silly things. And sadly, I've had kind of a depressing upbringing because the founder of Ed's World, Ed Gould, died of leukemia in 2011, I think. And then Dom Farah, who's in the L.A. area, doesn't really upload to YouTube anymore. So both of my biggest inspirations kind of gave up. So, but now I watch a lot of DeFranco, who I find kind of inspiring. He just kind of gives a very balanced look on things, and I wish he was in charge of YouTube. But I probably shouldn't suggest to our fans who my favorite YouTubers are because they're not family friendly, but I watch a lot of Red Letter Media, because they review movies. Actually, most of what I watch on YouTube is movie reviews, not tech, which some people don't realize. I don't watch a lot of tech reviewers, but
when you do it for a living, it's tiring. You got to take a break
from it.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I can't I don't have an answer when people say like, "Who's your favorite tech YouTuber?" I'm like,
Talos of Tech. Boom.
Yeah. I know all my problems. I can't say I'm good either. But I'd say those were my inspirations. I guess my sister and my dad were both they kind of studied film in college and stuff. So broadcasting's always been kind of in the family. So not any particular YouTubers I could say right now that I'm like, yeah, I want to be more like you. I want to be like someone that we don't have yet. So that's the goal.
Hey, that's the entrepreneurial spirit. If it doesn't exist, create it.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. This last one. This was in no particular order. I this wouldn't be my best closer, but it was funny. This was a cute one. Very quick to the point. Caller has a question about your code names for your projects.
Oh yes. Okay.
Hey, Taylor. It's Charles. I was just wondering, why do you always make all these different code names for all your secret projects? Thanks. BJ Dubs, I'm calling from Australia. International toll rate.
Australia.
Wow. Thanks for calling in. It's funny.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's just fun to watch you guys guess.
Yeah, for the most part, loving everyone try to figure out what it is, I think, is the most fun part. And
especially when we post the teasers. And yes. And then they're like, oh, man.
It's also a great hype tool to be like, hey, $15, I'll give you a hint. You know, it's like, we're a business. We got to pay the bills. We have excuses. But one thing I never want to do, and I want people to be clear on, is I'll never do a top secret project as a prank and say that it's nothing. A lot of people kept theorizing that, like, oh, watch 2X be nothing, and he's like, gotcha. What would be funny is if we set the release date for a top secret project on April Fool's Day, and everyone's like, oh, this won't be nothing. But whenever we surprise you, we want it to be with something that's actually way better than you thought. Mm-hmm. We never want it to be nothing and be like, ha, you got excited for nothing. It was all hoax.
I think we've said before, we will never lie to you to hurt you.
We will lie to you for your benefit.
If right. somebody like if somebody guessed the top secret project and we went, no, that's not it. Goodness, how could we have afforded that? No, we can't get a new office. Like right. That's lying, but we're not lying to be like, oh, got him. We're lying because it's like,
so no, you keep guessing.
You guessed it. We want to keep this game going.
So we keep the game going. Whereas, like in certain ways, saying lying, like it'd be kind of an extreme version. But if I said, like, you know, Xander's having heart surgery and I need to raise money for that,
that
would be lying to benefit us.
No.
I never plan on lying in that regard. But I do want to disclose to the audience that we will oftentimes say things that aren't the truth because it's either for our own safety or for your benefit of the excitement of the channel, or there's something we're working on and we don't want to announce it yet. But the names are usually just a fun little game to be like, what's something that could make sense when it's revealed, but also not work out, but no one could also guess it by the name. So,
like Newport,
right?
Evergreen,
right? We were like, what's something that's possible for someone to figure out, but not quite obvious enough?
Yeah.
So we come up with little guesses here and there, and it makes a fun game. And 2X will be very difficult to top. Finding something that big or exciting again will be tricky, but I really have no plans of retiring or stopping this YouTube career, and there's a bunch of projects that I'm not even close to being able to afford or have the power to do, but when I get to that point, I also want this history of having top secret projects to be something that the fans are used to. They're like, oh, there's another one.
Well, here we go. The scavenger begins.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I guess that's why we do that. And people seem to like it, and usually when we announce it, there's like, what's the next project? What's the next big thing? So we've noticed people enjoy that side of it, so we're going to keep doing it. When there is something big to announce, we'll let you know. Currently, there's nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, no. We have a new project called Project Macintosh, and we're replacing all the windows in our office. and they're gonna be a little more darker, and they're gonna have some window tinting. But you know, that's the only thing really.
Because our windows right now update constantly.
Uh-huh.
It's frustrating.
It's constant, like the sun. It keeps changing the colors, and it's really annoying sometimes. So.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, you heard it here.
You
first.
Heard it at the Talos the Tech podcast so, by the guy who's never on here.
Okay, so that was it. That was the last call.
Okay, well, great. It was nice talking to you, Randy. Thanks for nice organizing this.
And thank you for having me on.
Yeah, this was fun. I like talking about tech. So,
yeah,
you know,
we're
I like
good at
meeting
this.
New people, meeting the people who do this stuff. That's cool, too. I've heard about it. I've never actually been on a podcast with one of the other people before. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
I'm the quiet hand. I help Nick in the back and all that stuff. But you know, hey, I'm doing what I love. So for me, it doesn't even feel like it's even work. It's just
awesome. I wanted to fully disclose. You did not do any podcast work back when you won the backpack giveaway.
No.
That
was selected by
random.
Yes.
And we were amazed with the video you made with it, by the way. We love that.
And then
you started helping out working afterwards. I was worried some people might think that the giveaway was a cover-up of some sort.
No.
I didn't talk to Randy before this.
It just happened to be that way.
This was actually the first time I've ever spoken with Randy via voice, so...
Right.
Yeah.
To give everybody a quick background then on that. I was the one who won the backpack, which is thank you so much for that.
I
promised that I would make a video in support of that. And that was actually one of my more recent, most viewed videos for it, whether I put it up on Twitter or on YouTube. But I actually got involved on this project because the day before I was listening to the podcast, again, mm-hmm. fan first. And when you said this was recorded in 2X, I immediately tweeted you and the podcast handle, and I said, I know what it is. And Nick reached out to me. He DM'd me on the podcast handle, and he goes, hey, so just humor me. What do you think it is? And I let loose, and I was like, and my biggest hint that I found out about it was because I was on the Instagram. It's like, wait a minute. It all makes sense, and it clicked then. So when I told him that, he goes, I can ruin it for you and tell you right now, or what do you want to know? I'm so certain it's this, and I'm so excited to see the video tomorrow because I'm positive that's what it is. And
yeah.
So then after that, Nick and I just started talking. Again, no connection through you directly. And when he picked my brain about what I did, and I explained I did stuff like this, mm-hmm. he said, hey, would you be interested? You know, and I tell him, sure. And you're not paying me or anything like that. This is just me wanting to help out because it's – I enjoyed the show, and I want to contribute to make it better. And,
thank you.
Yeah, doing all this was strictly I was helping Nick out, in turn helping out the whole podcast channel for that. But mm-hmm. it was nothing that's like, oh, I'm going to give this backpack to Randy, and then he's going to be part of it. This was all organic. It all happened.
Stupid.
I guess actually all of the people who aren't like at the HQ or have like helped out with other things have all been community members that have just reached out and been like, hey, am I able to help with this? I have this ability. And it's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And mm-hmm. it's kind of cool that that's the way this has grown.
I love that because then you have a sense of, I think there's more ethic involved when you're being a part of something that you stand up for and you believe in. And at the same time, I think you have a stronger community for it because mm-hmm. it's not, I don't know, do I need to vet this guy, sit down, and what if he's like, you kind of just get a feel for it, and let it just happen organically, everything happened naturally for it, and I think that you actually have a stronger core for it, plus you make a stronger network for it, and then I just see it, this is one of the more organic growths I've ever seen, and I'm shocked that I'm a part of it now, but this is something that is like, of course, this is the best way to have anybody ever be a part of anything. You don't want somebody that I'm going to put a Craigslist, you know, ad out there and see what happens. But, you know, doing it this way, you have a sense of camaraderie. You build a solid team, and, you know, you make great friendships out of it, too. So
absolutely, yeah.
It's a win-win.
We're excited. By the end of next year, you won't need me at all. Nathan will edit, and you guys will do everything.
Yeah.
I better be careful here.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose it all.
No, we need you to focus on those other projects, so let us
Oh, that's true. Then I can just be in Saturday Shorts.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, thank you, audio listeners, for tuning in, and hopefully, no promises, but hopefully we'll see you next week. This is your Apple Sheep here.
This is me. I suck at outros.
You
need
do.
To work on this.
I'm going to just say that. I don't know what Randy's outro is. But...
Oh, my outro. I'm your editor in the podcast, the audio engineer. And boom, there you go. You can if you want to find me, you know how to find me. I trust our audience is very intellectual, you know, smart people. So if you want to find me, you can find me.
Yeah, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care.